everybody. Welcome to the Super Podcast. I am the terrible Australian Bede. I hope you're all doing very well today. And with me, of course, is my co-host slash co-serial killer for tonight's proceedings, Super Marcy. Hi, Marcy. How are you?
It's Super Marcy Ghostface, Bede.
You are the Ghostface killer. Is that right, Marcy?
Yes, it is me. It was actually me all along.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm Ghostface.
To be honest, Marcy, I honestly thought that the Cloverfield monster was the Ghostface killer. I mean, seriously, man.
Yeah, until I found out it was actually me, I always thought it was Chuck Norris.
Yeah, me too. Or even, like, Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But I do have... And of course, Marcy, I don't know where we're going with this.
I don't know. Can I just ask you a question?
Of course.
Before we proceed, why are you a terrible Australian?
I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Baby Geniuses.
No. No. No.
No!
Oh, Bede, I don't even know what to say.
You're, like, totally, totally, totally terrified right about now.
Oh, my God, I am. I mean, I can't wait until, like, Kopka hears your pick, because he will, like, just explode. So, would you like to introduce, like, our topic and hopefully our guest, if everything works?
Of course. Okay. Our guest for tonight is making her... Yes, that's right. I said her.
Yeah.
This is like the first time in a long time that we've had a female guest on the show.
That's right.
Yes.
That's not me, anyway.
And I don't know what to do with myself because I've never been around other girls other than you, Marcy, on this podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's two women, B. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'll figure something really awesome. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Giggity, giggity. So hopefully our good friend Lisa from MFC is actually there. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Marcy.
Hey.
I'm Bede.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
I'm so excited. Oh, my God, Lisa. Like, the room, Lisa.
I am feeling the pressure of being why, the first Lisa, why? In a while.
You're tearing me apart. No, not really.
You guys know how many times I've heard that in the past few years.
I know. We're terrible. We shouldn't, like, make those really bad jokes.
Of course.
No, you should, but I'm just so tired of that quote.
Well, how about, I don't know any other quotes off the top of my head. Unless, I don't know. Unless we could just say, stop pissing on hospitality.
I know. Cheap.
Cheap. Stop it. Yeah. So, welcome, anyway. Don't be nervous. We're very kind.
Except I am. It's my first podcast.
Oh, my God. Cherry popping. Beep. Where's the pop sound?
Pop.
He usually makes the pop sound for when...
I know, but it's a bit more awkward now.
Yeah, you don't. Sure, that would be awkward.
You don't mind deflowering men, but when it comes to a woman,
yeah, but they're so soft.
Oh my God,
they're so soft.
Oh God,
that's why it's got Pilgrim like reference. I can't hit her; she's so soft.
Oh God. That was, All right. That is going to in no way segue to the topic of conversation, which is the Scream franchise.
Yes.
Correct?
Of course.
Awesome. So should we discuss the very first Scream movie?
No. Yes.
Okay. All right. No. All right. So I'll ask Lisa first because she's the guest. Did you see Scream when it first came out?
I don't think I did. I think I was too young and my parents wouldn't allow me to see it.
I think I saw it
a couple of years afterwards.
Yeah, I think I saw it without my parents knowing at the time. I think, when did it come out here, Bede? Like, early 2007?
Yeah, about Yeah, about roughly that, I would say.
It was either the end of 2006 or early 2007. I was like 11 or 12 when I first saw Scream. And we instantly became obsessed. Like, I think we watched it for the first time, and then we watched it again and again and again. I think we watched it like 5 times in like 2 days or something. It was ridiculous. What about you, Bede? What was your Scream? Did you see it then? Or
I actually didn't watch it until a few years later. I think around about 98, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was a bit of a latecomer to the Scream franchise. As I said on the last podcast, I used to be I wasn't a horror fan when I was young. Until I saw like the movie that changed my Freddy versus Friday the 13th, Part 7. That when I started getting into more horror,
yes.
And I decided to check out, of course, you know, the Scream films.
Yeah, cool. So, Lisa, did you like it automatically when you first saw it?
I think I was just absolutely terrified, to be honest with you. I don't think it was a matter of liking it. You know what I mean?
It was scary. It actually was kind of scary. It was because I think it wasn't like the killer was like somebody that you sort of knew who it was. Where like, because, you know, like, I'm saying like a million times. I mean, when you have Freddy, you know who Freddy is, or Jason, you know who Jason is. I mean, except for the first one, you kind of don't really know who it is. And Michael Myers in Halloween, you sort of knew who he was. So this one was different because you didn't know who it was. It was just somebody dressed up in this creepy mask stabbing people. And the characters in it were so, I guess they were likable because they were a bit more, I guess, relatable because they really tried to sort of, what's the word I'm going for? They tried to make everybody more self-aware, I guess, in the movie. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was much more grounded in reality. And even at a young age, I don't think I was that scared of Freddy or Jason or anybody like that. But this movie absolutely terrified me because it could have been somebody down the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at in my, you know, airheadedness. But I think it was like because the movie started with the phone calls, and scary phone calls are, well, scary or threatening phone calls, and the way that they like actually did it, it was pretty creepy. I mean, if you answered the phone and someone was like, "I'm gonna gut you like a fish," I mean, you're gonna like probably shoot yourself. So
I know I would,
because I remember like the first time I saw it, my friend and I were having like a sleepover. And we watched it for the first time, and we were so freaked out. It was so cool. And then I had to go call my parents for some reason, and they weren't answering the phone. And my friend's going to me, "What if they're dead?" And I'm like, "Shut the hell up. That's not going to happen." And she's like, "Ghostface is going to kill them." And oh, my gosh, totally freaked out. That is awesome.
That's a terrible friend.
Totally. I associate with terrible people, apparently. but that was that experience, though. Sorry. You can continue, B.
I was going to say, we have to remember that Scream practically from, you know, we all knew the horror films of the 80s were huge and all that, but by the time the 90s came around, horror sort of became a bit dead.
Yeah, you know, horror was pretty much gone by then. Like,
yeah, look. Sure, you had, like, you know, a couple of awesome ones between 1990 and 96 with, like, you know, Misery, Jacob's Ladder, Silence of the Lambs, Interview with the Vampire, and Candyman, and a few others. But they were kind of, like, few and far between, and they, like, like those were, like, the main exceptions because, you know, people know that those were hits, but there wasn't anything that was... But other horror movies around that time weren't huge hits, but it was pretty much when Scream came along, got, you know, the critical acclaim and the big box office numbers that it pretty much revitalized the horror genre overnight.
Yeah. I mean, I want to go back to what Lisa just mentioned, New Nightmare. Thank you. Because that sort of was a prelude to the Scream because I think there were very similar ideas going around. And while New Nightmare was a critical success, it was a box office flop. So I think Wes Craven felt kind of, you know, down in the dumps a bit as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of just worked out, you know what I mean? Like, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does, because Scream's a very, like, New Nightmare, it's a very meta film, like, it's very self-aware of itself.
It's like, it's the movies are inside the movies kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
these aren't characters who, like, who don't know that there's a killer out there. These are characters who know that there's a killer out there, and these are characters who have seen horror movies and know what happens, you know, in the horror movies could happen to them in real life.
They're sort of like, oh, well, if this were, I mean, someone's killing people, if this were a horror movie, this is what's going to happen. So they kind of go through, oh, these are the rules, and they made up, like, the rules, which, you know, by whatever chance, the horror movie just always followed those patterns. I guess it kind of
made
sense.
I have to say that I rewatched the movie last night.
Yeah.
And I was actually astounded at how smart it is.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I just forgot. The movie is so smart without talking down to the audience.
Yeah.
And it's funny without trying too hard.
Exactly. Like, I rewatched it recently because I had to write about Wes Craven. And it even reminded me how we just loved it when we were younger and watched it all the time, because it's so smart and it treats its audience like as if the audience were smart as well. Our target audience probably know of all these movies, so they're going to be able to relate back to these. And, you know, all the while, it does have an interesting mystery about who the killer is, why they're doing this.
Yeah.
So when the reveal comes, I mean, the clues are everywhere when you rewatch it. Like, it is so obvious. But, you know, the first time when you watch it, it comes as a surprise, and that's always good. Because I kind of miss, like, twist endings where you don't see them coming and they make sense and they're good, as was the case with Scream. Like, did you guys know who the killers were when you first saw it? Do you remember?
I think I was, because before I actually saw Scream, I think somebody actually spoiled the ending.
Well, it doesn't help, does it?
Yeah.
What about you, Lisa?
I think I suspected that the boyfriend might be involved, but I had no idea that Matthew Lillard's character would be, you know, a partner in crime.
Yeah, because we didn't, I mean, you sort of don't expect that there's going to be two killers. That was also the other twist, because I don't really remember any films like this where you had two killers. It was always one, you know, like, does that make sense? Like, it definitely, like, broke new ground, I think, and because this movie was so different and it was so fresh, I think that really just gave birth to, like, the new wave of horror that came about in, like, the mid to late 90s. But nothing was ever as good as Scream.
Yeah, because it was, like, a true original.
It was.
And it has, like, you know, fantastic characters, like, memorable characters. Like, even years after the movie's come out, you still remember these characters. But also, you know, the actors who play them to perfection.
Yeah, alright. Round the table. Lisa, who was your favourite original Scream character?
I think, oh man, this is hard. It would be a toss-up between Tatum and Stu.
Yeah.
I think. I just love Tatum's spiciness. She's just the right amount of airhead.
Yeah.
I just love that character.
Yeah, I did as well. What about you, Bede?
I've always loved Randy because, you know, I'm a movie buff and he was a movie buff, so we kind of, like, gelled together.
You wanted to marry him.
Well, that's a completely different story altogether.
Oh, really?
But anyways, he's just, like, a character I could really relate to because you don't really have those kind of movie buff characters who basically know their shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could just, like, as you know, as a film geek, and all of us as film geeks, we can really relate to that. Like, as soon as we see him, like as soon as he mentions movies that probably no other people, like normal people, would not even know what the hell they were.
Yeah. For me, I'm gonna go and say original film. It was probably Stu because he was so outrageous and. His dialogue was so cool.
So great in that movie.
Yeah. Because we always would be just like, my friend and I would always just go to each other and go, what would be your motive? And do all the, like, quotes from Stu. Or, like, you know, how do you gut someone? you take a knife and you slit him from groin to sternum. You know, all the really ridiculous lines. And I quite liked Billy because I always just thought there was something off about his character, and there really was something off about his character. But, sorry.
I didn't realize, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go for it.
Sorry about the delay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't realize how good Skeet Ulrich is in this movie until you see the second one and see how bad the guy that plays Mickey is.
Oh my god.
He's really terrible.
Yeah, we need to get to that shortly. I don't know, the one thing that I thought was a bit ridiculous in the Scream, like all of them, was just once the killer's revealed, they lose the plot, and it's like, why would they suddenly lose the plot now? I don't know.
Because they, like, stabbed each other, and that's
yeah, but they're like, oh my god, the mask comes off, I'm a psycho! You know what I mean? I was just going to touch on that, you know, like, our main character of Sydney is also actually a pretty good, and a decent heroine as well.
Yeah.
And I quite like, I mean, I think Neve Campbell is a pretty good actress. It's kind of a shame that she's hasn't really done much at all, you know, in the last few years. And I guess the other awesome thing about Scream is the opening. Because
it's classic.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch it for the first time and you don't know, you're, like, assuming Drew Barrymore is, like, the main character.
Well, yeah, because she was, like, the only major star.
Yeah, and she was on all the posters and everything. And then, you know, lo and behold, 10 minutes in, oh my god, she's dead.
Mm.
Her insides are on the outside. Sorry. That was the quote from the movie. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, you know, as a horror fan, I think I owe a lot to Scream, and I love the movie. I've seen it. I mean, this is probably one of the movies I've seen the most ever, and I'm, like, saying that I've seen this movie almost 100 times. But this goes back...
Crap.
Yeah, this goes back to when I was, like, you know, 12, 13, when my friend and I would just watch it every single weekend, and I actually decided to keep a tally of how much I'd seen the movie. And I can slightly remember the last time being something in, like, you know, having seen it 80 times, and I'm like, wow, I was really crazy as a teenager. Silence, yeah.
You know who also, just to give kudos before we move on to the next movie, I have to give a shout-out to both Dewey and Gale.
Oh, yeah, because they totally...
They're such great characters.
Yeah, they totally hooked up and then divorced.
I know, it's funny, all four films, like, just represent each stage of their relationship.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I completely forgot, but this is probably one of the only roles I actually really like Courtney Cox in, because she's actually really good. And, I don't know, David Arquette is kind of hit and miss, but he's really good as Dewey.
I like him in the first one, not so much in the sequels.
I always liked Dewey because he was a very likable guy, even though he was a bit of a doofus, but, you know, you know.
That's why they called him Doofy. Scary Movie. I'm sorry, but that movie is fucking hilarious. Sorry, I just remember that scene in Scary Movie when he goes, "Smell my finger."
Hey, Terry, smell my
finger.
Oh, what the hell
is
that? My ass.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I'm, like, crying because I'm, like, laughing so much. Anyway, not to derail the podcast.
Yes. I have one more thing.
Yeah.
If you spot very, very, if you, I only noticed this, like, a while ago, but if you actually look very closely in the movie, you can actually spot Linda Blair.
She is, that's true.
And I'm surprised she wasn't featured more in the movie, because, I mean, it's Linda Blair, you know, Oscar nominee from The Exorcist. Like,
yeah.
Where is she in the movie? Because I don't know about this.
I think it's when they go to school after the murders the first time, and she goes in Sydney's face going, like, people need to know the truth or something. She's like one of the news anchors. Yeah. Oh, and of course, like, in the smallest cameo ever, Leah Shriver, however you pronounce his name, as Cotton Weary in, like, 2 seconds of film. It's like, what the hell? He gets, like, credited at the end as being in it, and it's like, huh? What? Say what? It's very strange.
Also, Wes Craven makes a cameo, and he's in the, because he played cameos as the school janitor, But if you actually notice, he actually, his get-up that he wears is exactly the same get-up that Freddy Krueger wears.
Yeah, and he's called Fred.
Yeah.
We have to give a shout-out to the Fonz. We can't leave
Oh, yeah,
out.
The Fonz.
I know. I was thinking, I thought you were going to mention Fonzie.
Oh, well, him too.
I wish he was my school principal when I was in school.
Yeah, yeah, like, awesome. He really went out after those kids for, like, you know, running around in Ghostface outfits, like...
Yeah.
You know, you're, like, going, yeah, man, take those bastards down.
Yeah, and I love how he's, you know, how he announces things over the PA system. That's awesome. He just seems so fun. Like, I half expected him to go in front of the mirror and just go, eh, but he didn't. That was a shame.
I have to say, if there's one scene that doesn't work for me...
Mm-hmm.
It's when Sydney is in the bathroom and those two girls are talking about her. And I just think that that actress is really shitty.
She is
and it
terrible.
Brings me out of the movie.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I know what you mean.
But
she's
that's
like,
the only
yeah.
scene, pretty much.
Yeah, because she's. They're both terrible. And she's like. She's overacting, I mean. And the other girl with her overacts as well. And then she goes, "You are pathetic." And it's like. Really? No.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack is fucking amazing.
Of course. Because it features, like the one song that features, like, throughout the entire series happens to be sung by an Australian singer.
Nick Cave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Scream, obviously awesome. Let's move on.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Let's move on to the sequel.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll start with our special guest. Are you a fan of Scream 2, or do you dislike Scream 2?
I have mixed feelings about Scream 2. Mm-hmm. There are elements of it that work for me, and there are elements of it that I think are just shit-tastic.
Shit-tastic.
Yes, shit-tastic.
Awesome, I like this word. I like this girl very much.
The opening, I think, really works.
Yeah.
It's just very creepy.
Yeah, it is really good.
Cece's death, I think, works.
Mm-hmm.
Randy's death is great. But the movie, I think, has serious pacing issues.
Mm. I definitely see where you're coming from with that as well.
It just drags on.
Some of it, yeah, it feels slow. Yeah, some of it is quite slow. I think, because I didn't see the original Scream in cinema, but I saw the Scream 2 at the cinema, like, on opening day, because I was so excited. And, you know, because it was the first time, I was really excited. I thought it was awesome. And rewatching it constantly, I actually do think it's a really strong sequel, but it's more evident now that there are a few little problems. Like you said, the pacing and stuff, and definitely the end isn't that great. But things I liked, I mean, I think it sort of had the same spirit as Scream, but it also changed things up again because this one, you know, it wanted to do the whole sequel thing and have a movie in a movie because, you know, this was just a whole, like, piss take on how the media is. A mass murder happens, a year later there'll be a movie about it, and that's what they played on with doing, like, a stab movie. And they, you know, went with the joke angle because, like, Sydney makes a joke about Tori Spelling playing her in the movie and Tori Spelling goes and plays her in Stab. And they sort of show you when you see the opening of Stab where it's supposed to be like the Drew Barrymore, Casey Becker getting killed and how Hollywood changes things like this. She's got to be, you know, naked in the shower and, you know, yeah, exactly. So it's kind of funny to see all that. Like, it's really smart. You know, I think the characters are most of them are actually pretty good as well. But I think it sort of derails a little bit, as I said, more towards the end, where I thought the reveal who the killers were was stupid, the motives were stupid, and the ending is just a mess. Beep, how do you feel about Scream 2?
Actually, Scream 2 was actually the first Scream movie I actually saw.
You don't watch them out of order.
I know, but I was young and foolish at the time.
Can we call you Doofy? I'm kidding. But you were going to say, of course. So.
I really like Scream 2. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. I actually love Scream 2. Mm. Like, not as much as the first
He's
one,
like,
but
fuck you,
Lisa. As a sequel.
He's giving you the middle finger right now, Lisa.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You did not.
I did not. Anyway.
Anyway, please continue.
I think, like you say, but I think it's a very strong sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think there are a lot of elements that do work. Like, I agree, the ending is kind of... like, even though I still enjoy it for what it is, but it is a bit of a mess, because, you know, the motivations behind I guess we should definitely say that there'll be spoilers for all the Scream movies, so if you're just listening to this podcast, I'd say turn it off right now. But if you haven't seen Scream 2, then, you know, what's wrong with you? Anyways, back to what I was saying. You know, Mickey's motivation was kind of stupid.
Yeah, especially because I'm like, I don't buy anybody who says this.
And, I mean, but I can get, know. Like, because there are two killers in the movie, and the other killer happens to be a reporter named Debbie Salt, who's played by Laurie Metcalf, but she's actually really Billy Loomis's mum.
That makes sense, but it just seems silly.
Yeah, that's... I guess it is, yeah.
Mm.
I think they're trying to play up the whole, like, Jason Voorhees, you know...
Yeah.
...all and all that. But I do... I love Scream. There's a lot of great moments in it, and it has quite a great cast, especially if you look back on it. Now, that even in small roles, there were a lot of actors who would go on to do bigger and better things. Like, you got Portia de Rossi as, like, a student in the movie who's trying to get Sydney to join their sorority.
Her eyebrows do not match her hair, and it's so obvious. Like, I see her in that movie, and I cannot look away. I cannot get past the eyebrows and the hair.
There's nothing wrong with those eyebrows, Murphy. Let me tell you.
It's not, like, her eyebrows. It's the colour of her eyebrows. I mean, not even the colour of her eyebrows. It's the hair. And I don't know, maybe it's too blonde for her eyebrows, but it just, I always look at her eyebrows. And I really do like Portia de Rossi a lot. Why does she pick Ellen over me? but it's just, I don't know.
Billions of dollars might have something to do with it.
Yeah, I'm too poor for her. But, like, I don't know, it's just that distracts me, and it's a stupid thing to notice and be distracted by, but it does. I'm sorry.
Indeed.
Sorry, continue. Like, yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
I mean, I can see where Beat is coming from. I do like the movie. I just think the ending is terrible, and there are just certain scenes that just stick out so badly.
Mm.
I read somewhere that the ending wasn't supposed to be the original, like, was changed. I think the original ending was, like, Mickey, who's played by Timothy Oliphant. Oh, this is, like, the first thing I ever saw Timothy Oliphant.
Me too, and I was in love. I mean, I just looked at his face, and I was like, oh my god, I want to marry that man. And I was right, because he turned out to be awesome. Not marry his character, marry the actual actor.
Yeah.
By the way.
And, originally, there was supposed to be, like, the ending was supposed to be similar to... I think there was a character who was Sydney's friend in the movie named Hallie, played by Elise Neal, who's very good in the film. She was supposed to be the other killer, and I think her character name was supposed to be Mallory. So Mickey, Mallory, natural born killers.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they were going to do, but they decided to change it to Billy's mum, and so they changed Hallie's character from Mallory just to Hallie.
Yeah.
Also, I've read, so I'm not sure if that's... But, you know, with these type of movies, they've changed the ending all the time.
And that's why they changed it. That's
what I
heard.
I think you might be right as well, because that sort of rings a bell that something got leaked back then.
Yeah, I think something did get leaked. I do recall something like that happening, and that's why they changed the ending. So that's probably why it seems a bit, you know, kind of a mess in a way.
Sorry, my phone just made noise, and I was like, oh, crap, sorry.
But I have to laugh. I do enjoy the opening with Jada Pinkett Smith and Omar Epps.
Yeah, I love that opening. It's so well done. I mean, I don't know if I, like, the bit in the bathroom where the knife goes through the freaking thing is a bit silly.
It's funny how the ghost face was able to get the exact, like, mark in the wall where it would hit.
Yeah, I know. It's so ridiculous. It's like as if somebody does that. it's kind of silly. Yeah. But everything else is awesome, by the way. Especially how she gets killed while the movie's playing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's cool seeing, like you know, cameos in the movie within the movie, like Heather Graham, Luke Wilson, Tori Spelling, of course. And also Sarah Michelle Gellar was in the movie as well. I think this was around the
Buffy!
Time when,
I mean,
when Buffy was starting up. So,
my girl.
Yeah. I remember we were so excited, like, when we saw her in the movie, because we were like, oh my god, it's Buffy!
And then she dies, like, 30 minutes in.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool, though. She does a good job.
Like, oh, yeah, she
does. I think she is such a great actress with the right material.
Mm.
And she was, I mean, for her small role, I mean, she's memorable. She was really good.
Yeah. I agree.
Definitely.
Oh, and Liev Schreiber comes back for a much bigger role this time
around.
Yeah,
and I thought it was actually pretty decent. Like, I thought the inclusion of Cotton Weary was interesting.
Yeah. Like, he plays it a bit over the top, but it actually works for the
character. It kind of works. Because you're supposed to suspect him more than anybody else, I think.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, I don't know, I mean, going down to, like, the ending, I think he was mainly the only thing I thought was decent when it came to the end. But that's just me. So, yeah. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to Scream 2?
Oh, yeah, I have to say two more things. I do remember another actor who popped up in a very small role in the movie, Joshua Jackson.
Oh my god, he did. That was
Twitter.
That was in Dawson's Creek, was out, wasn't it? Yeah. Well,
yeah, and it's funny that he would appear in a very, very small role despite the fact that he was in the Mighty Duck movies, which was kind of weird.
And he did the same thing with Urban Legend.
Kevin Williamson produced Dawson's Creek.
He did.
Yeah.
He wrote Dawson's Creek and stuff. But he,
and,
they also did the same thing. They put Joshua Jackson in the small, like, cameo type of role in Urban Legends. And they even had the Dawson's Creek theme song come on the radio when he was in it.
Very meta.
Sorry. I kind of know a few things about Joshua Jackson. I was totally in love with Casey.
We all do, Marcy.
Pervert.
Oh, shut up. Who did not want to marry Casey? Or at least, you know, get with him at some stage.
what was I going to say? I have to admit, Marcy, I think out of all the movies, when it comes to Gail's hair, I think her hairdo in this movie is, like, up there as the best thing ever.
Dude.
Don't ask me why. It's like the red streaks. It's really hot.
Dude,
I have an opinion on Gail's hair.
I had that hairstyle.
I've thought about it before, Bede.
I had that hairstyle, sort of. Like, my hair was a bit different, but I had those streaks, and it was around at the same time, and I'm like, she copied my streaks.
And, of course, you know, Randy dies, which is probably, like, one of the most shocking deaths ever.
Yeah, I didn't expect him
to
die.
And I think that's why some people are kind of down, were kind of pissed off with the sequel, because Randy got killed.
I can see that. I mean, of course, before he dies, the killer goes, "What's your favorite scary movie?" And he goes, "Showgirls, absolutely frightening." Whatever the line is. But I'm like, "Yeah, Showgirls, it is fucking frightening." Lisa, do you have any closing thoughts on Scream 2 that you want to mention?
Closing thoughts. I don't know. I think it's okay. There's, like I said, there's stuff that works for me. And stuff that really doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sort of the same. I mean, it's mainly around the ending that kind of sort of throws it off track. All right, on to Scream 3. And I'll just make it be known now, I'm not the biggest fan of Scream 3. For me, it's more along the lines of a guilty pleasure more than anything else. And this movie, I know, suffered a lot because the script was getting rewritten when they were shooting it. So that really kind of shows.
Mm. And there's, like, a joke about it in the movie. Like, what was it, Jenny McCarthy? She's like, did they rewrite the damn script again?
Yeah. It's, I don't know, I guess the in-jokes in this one, because it takes place in Hollywood, it's kind of like, I don't know, there was too many in-jokes. This one wasn't written by Kevin Williamson, which, again, you can sort of tell. And I don't know, they sort of took it to Hollywood, and this, I don't know, the setting felt different. Sydney was not in it at all very much, yet it all focused around her, so it was a bit, you know, meh. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
I haven't seen it in quite a while, but I remember being very disappointed by it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for a while. I mean, I have the DVD, but I think it was, you know, someone bought it for me, but I don't know. It just, this one didn't really work. And the killer was just like, are you fucking serious? That's the twist? Duh. It's ridiculous. I will say one thing. Lance Henriksen, for the win, being in this movie. Oh, yeah.
That's why you secretly love the movie, Marcy.
Oh, yeah, any like I have is because of Lance.
Oh, yeah.
Lance is the man. I love my Lance. I'm going to send him the podcast, and I'm just going to, like, you know, he can hear me say how much I love him. Mwah. No. Beach? Yes,
you're a perv. Anyway. I have to admit, I actually do like Scream 3.
Terrible. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know why. I've always liked it, even though it's definitely, like, the silliest of the three of the series. Because, like you say, it has so many in-jokes. Like, I mean, the fact that you have, like, Carrie Fisher popping up as somebody who looks like Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also you got, like, Jay and Silent Bob pop up.
Oh, God, that was so silly.
It is silly, but I actually did have a laugh at that moment.
I did as well, but I'm just like, this doesn't fit.
I know.
That's like, blew up,
yeah,
a
house. It's kind of out of place, but it still works.
Wait,
in a way.
Sorry? Lisa?
I said, doesn't the killer blow up a house at some point?
Yeah, a house gets blown up.
Yeah, that's just so out of place.
It is. It really is.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like I said, it's guilty pleasure. I mean, I don't think it's as well acted as the other films. And I don't like who they killed off at the beginning. I was like, are you serious? Why did you do that?
Liev, no!
Liev, no! Yeah, exactly. I don't know, and it had McSteamy, McDreamy, one of the McSteamies, whatever the hell their names are.
Yeah, McDreamy.
Is it McDreamy? I don't know.
Marcy, you're a girl, you should know all this.
I don't know, my mum goes up to me, she was watching Grey's Anatomy, she goes, look, it's McCreamy, and I'm like... I don't think one of them is called McCreamy. It's just like,
McDreamy?
I mean, that's... McDreamy?
Yeah, that's gross.
And it's like, no, he's going to be McCreamy from now on. Anyway. Sorry, I derailed this stupid podcast.
Bloody McCreamy.
McCreamy, I blame
this is the
you.
Best podcast ever. What are you talking about?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you. You get a prize.
I actually have to admit, I think there was kind of a meta joke at the beginning of the movie, because, like, Liev Schreiber jokes about, you know, something about, like, he... Because in the movie, his character, Cotton, is supposed to have, like, a cameo at the beginning of Stab 3 within the movie. Oh, and it's kind of funny that he says, like, oh, they're something like... they have to pay me a lot of money to star in a cheap slasher movie.
Yeah.
And I just kind of found that just funny in a kind of ironic sort of way.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's definitely the more disappointing. And it's like, some, you know, in a series of films or trilogies, the third one seems to, not always, but, you know, it does seem to sort of derail things a little bit. And this really sort of did that for me. I just really didn't think it was very good. I expected a lot more from Wes Craven and everybody involved, but they just seem to want to get everybody back together just to have fun. And it's like, well, you could have done better.
I remember people saying that Sydney was too whiny in this one, and I think, you know, given what the character has been through, well, I think it's understandable.
Yeah, exactly. But she wasn't in it that much, and that was a bit disappointing to me, because... the focus has always been Sydney, and that's what's interesting, but they sort of didn't really do that much. And, I don't know, that sort of didn't help matters, I guess. But at least, I mean, I thought, like, Courtney Cox and, the, I was going to say Dewey. Somebody else's name. No, fucking, what's her name? Parker Posey.
Oh, yeah.
Their back and forth is actually really funny, despite how annoying Parker Posey is in this movie.
I think she was, like, one of the best things about it. I absolutely loved her performance.
It worked, so, I mean, I don't know. David Arquette, I don't know. I don't even remember him in this movie. That's how much of an effect he had on me. I liked him in Scream 2, just not so much in this movie, because I don't even remember him being in it. If that makes any sense. Yeah. I guess this is more like a nay rather than a yay for me. What about you guys? Any last Scream 3 thoughts?
Thumbs down. Thumbs all the way down. Fuck you, Wes Craven.
Yeah. Actually, the movie doesn't seem as bad after you've seen My Soul to Take. That is
God, that is the worst movie I've ever seen.
That movie is fucking so shit. I'm like, Wes Craven, dude. Seriously, as I know, I always say when I see something really terrible, it is like he wanted to take a shit on top of me by making My Soul to Take. It's so terrible. Ugh. I mean, compared to that, Scream 3 is a masterpiece.
I still don't really know what happened in My Soul to Take. What happened in that movie?
It is such a train wreck.
What the fuck was that plot?
What was it about? What the hell? It didn't make any sense, and it was so boring and dumb and just retarded. Or differently abled, I'm sorry. But that movie can, like, get flushed down the toilet and into the sewer, and then get flushed down another toilet. It's just fucking so shit. But anyway, sorry, I'm going off on a rant again.
Indeed.
Yeah. Babe, do you have anything else you want to say about Scream 3?
I like Scream 3, and I don't care what anyone says.
Out. No.
Once again, a passive-aggressive fuck you, Lisa.
I'm not saying that.
Oh, gosh. All right. So, we'll move on, spoiler-free, of course, to Scream
4. Although it might be a bit hard to, because the things I wanted to say about the movie might have to go in spoiler territory.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it, and neither are you. You can write a review about it, Bede, and you can put as many spoilers as you want.
But I don't wanna.
Lisa, do you plan to see Scream 4?
I saw it, actually.
Oh, you did? Awesome.
Yeah.
So you plan to see it and you saw it? I wasn't sure, because the release dates were different from, like, it came out here before there by, like, a day or 2 days or something. Is that right, Bede?
Yeah, practically 2 days.
Did you see it today or yesterday, rather?
I saw it yesterday.
Did you see it yesterday, Lisa?
I saw it yesterday.
Oh, awesome. So we're all on track. At least we've all seen it, so that's good.
Can we use spoilers?
I still don't want to use spoilers.
But we spoil movies all the time.
Yeah, but not, like, new releases.
We did that for Inception and Predators.
Did we?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, so we should say spoilers from Scream 4, says stop listening right now if you don't want to know what happens.
Yeah. I mean, people want to, like, listen to it spoiler-free, but, I mean, I guess I'll try and remain as spoiler-free as possible. If Bede goes into spoilers, you've been warned. How's that?
Exactly.
I'm so editing all this stuff to make it
sound
better.
You might have to put, like, a spoiler sound effect in there.
I'll just go, spoiler alert! Yeah, there you go. Done.
Okay.
Sound effect done. All right. So we'll go to Lisa, because she's our guest. Did you like Scream 4?
I liked it. Once again, though, there's stuff that just really doesn't work. The opening is great. I don't know what you guys thought, but
yeah.
I just think the opening is the best one since the first one.
I thought it was really funny. Like, I had no idea that's what was going to happen, and I'm sitting there going, you know, for the first part of it, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool, and I'm like, oh, it's really bloody, and then out of nowhere, something else happens, like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I'm like, yeah, hello, Veronica Mars and Sookie Stackhouse, and then something happens, I'm like, oh, man, what the hell? And then, of course, something else happens, like, oh, man, that was so cool.
That opening really spun me out, because I didn't know what to, like, which
yeah.
was real. And I think that I got to give credit to both Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson for that, because that sort of like, whether you like the opening, I liked it personally, but I think some people out there might not like it, but it's definitely a good way to start the, to grab your attention.
Yeah, it definitely movie. Sort of like took jabs at a lot of things. I mean, this is something that bothered me. I guess they kind of thought, for me, it felt like they were trying to be more like, this is not going to sound right. They thought they were too smart when they weren't that smart. That's how the script with some of the in-jokes felt to me. Like, they're going, ooh, Saw series, they're dumb. And I'm like,
I feel like it sounded that's as though a bunch of 40-year-olds got in a room, no offense to 40-year-olds.
I'm taken, I'm sure.
And tried to sound hip and young.
Yeah, it's
and
like...
And it just falls flat.
Yeah, that's my main issue with it, was like, oh, we're going to take digs at stuff we think people are going to, like, laugh at and hate and whatever. And it's like, dude, it doesn't work. Just because, like, you know, certain film fans might say this. I mean, I'm a serious, like, you know, film buff person, and I like the Saw series for what it is. And I think it's just kind of stupid. It's like, it's like this, Like, fuck
think,
off,
like,
script.
Even though they were kind of, like, having, like, it was a bit of a jab at Saw, but I think it was kind of at the whole kind of torture porn genre that was happening around.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it could have been handled better, and it just, I don't know, going off in a bit of a tangent, I just felt there was too many, like, self-aware and in-jokes for its own good. Like, it got so repetitive. I'm like, this is getting a bit tiresome. You know what I mean? It's just, that kind of just annoyed me the most about the movie. For me.
Well, the reason Scream worked so wonderfully, it was because it parodied, slasher films, but you also cared about the characters.
Yeah.
And this one, I just didn't give a shit about anybody.
Yeah, and it was, at least back then, it was sort of, it felt fresh when they did it, but here it was just, it felt too forced. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I mean, you know, by now, the only characters I really cared about was just, like, you know, Sydney, pretty much. And I liked the, you know, the what they'd done with her character, like, she's sort of tried to move on, and she's doing the book thing, and, you know, she makes that decision to go back to Woodsboro and stuff. I thought that was really well done. But I didn't really feel anything for the teen cast. I mean, I thought they all did a pretty decent job. But I just didn't really give a shit. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to really care if someone gets hacked up. I'll enjoy it. Even though I shouldn't enjoy that, but that's what you go see horror movies for anyway.
I think Anna Roberts was pretty good, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, what I've seen her in, she hasn't been that great. But in this, she was really good. Like, I'm like, you know, keep doing this kind of thing, Emma Roberts. I think you've got a future.
I think she's really stepped up as an actress, in my opinion. Mm. Like, because she, like, started out on Nickelodeon and stuff.
Yeah.
And doing crappy kids' movies and all that, which some of which I unfortunately have seen. But she's definitely, as soon as she got old enough, she started picking at least more quality films and one of which I really liked her in was it's kind of a funny story, which I really liked her in, and also she did a really good job in this movie.
Yeah, and she has like the coolest dad ever in real life, obviously.
I mean, because he fought the Sharktopus, man.
Dude, he's like, oh my god, he was the only good thing about Sharktopus. So yeah, he's a legend. that's sort of off the tracks. It's too bad he didn't have a cameo in this. That would have been fucking awesome.
In the sequel, hopefully.
Yeah, because we need more sequels. I guess we'll say that this one, like, wanted to poke fun at remakes and reboots you know, franchises and that kind of stuff, which it makes sense because that's all there is now with horror and, you know, a lot of films in general. But for me, like, one of the saddest scenes in the movie was when Hayden Panettiere's character was, like, naming off all the horror remakes. And it's like, really? There have been that many recently? Yeah. Jesus.
I actually read somewhere that she calls out at least 25 different movies, like, different remakes.
I wouldn't doubt that, you know.
I know. That was, like, one of my favourite scenes in the movie.
Yeah, but I can't stand her. She is such a bitch.
I actually really liked her in the movie.
She wasn't bad in the movie, but it's her as a person that pisses me off.
Mm.
And I just, I can't...
Yeah, I've heard pretty negative things about her in real life.
She's an absolute bitch. She really is, like... Because I went to the convention that she was at, and she sat there. She didn't give a shit about people paying money to actually go see her. She didn't talk to anybody. She was such a snob. And it's like, you know, without all these people, you wouldn't have a career. Nobody would know who the fuck you were. Be a little bit more respectful. But no, she's a cunt. She can fuck off. But, you know, in the movie, she was okay. I said my piece.
Although, I have to admit, she's probably, like, the hottest, like, film chick I have ever seen. That's
what I'm thinking... I don't buy her as being a film nerd. Go fuck off. I'm sorry.
No.
I suppose, but, you know, like, I'm a guy, so...
Yeah, that's like your fantasy. No, I'm like...
ultimate fantasy.
I think that's what they were playing up to for the movie.
I mean, Bede, the reality is the chicks that dig films look like me and they look like Lisa. And if you have a problem with that...
Are you saying that you... I think that he's a pretty cute...
Well, thank you, Bede.
I think he's a both, like, I don't want to, like, embarrass myself.
Too late. I'm just saying, the reality is...
We're attractive, sexy ladies.
Yeah. Yes, you are. You're both sexy ladies.
Exactly. My point was, we don't look like Hayden Panettiere, and we don't act like her. We act really awesome.
I know. That's why I use that sexy.
And plus, we're so sexy.
It's sexy.
This is called the Sexy Scream Podcast. Anyway.
Anybody who's still listening at this point...
Everybody is, like, so into this right now.
What's going on in this podcast?
They're just, like, two chicks talking to each other on a podcast. Oh, my God. They're, like, you know, they're excited. What was I going to say about this movie? Because we're kind of derailing again. That's my fault, probably.
Sorry. As usual.
I apologize for my Hayden Panettiere rant. I don't know, did you guys think, like, the people in the movie were okay, like, the acting-wise, or did you think the characters were annoying, or did you give a shit? Did you not, like, you know what I mean? Did you care? Did you not care? Was it just kind
of, like...
I feel
like a lot of the problem is with this script.
Yeah, it is. Because I think they had, like, interesting characters on paper. But I think different, like, things probably got changed a little bit. Like, some of the characters could have been a bit cooler, but, you know, they just kind of weren't, although they were just really underdeveloped to really care. Does that make sense? Like, when it comes to, like, the reveal, I mean, at least one person, it was just like, okay, but why? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, there are a lot of characters, for all, like you say, Mars, it probably might have been, you know, they've had to change the script around so, like, things wouldn't get leaked out and all that.
Mm.
Like, who knows, maybe some stuff was, like, more character development and all that was probably cut out. Like, for example, like, you got, like, Adam Brody and Anthony Anderson as, like, the Dewey's, like, two fellow cops.
Mm.
Like, I would have liked to have seen more of them in the movie.
Yeah, because I was quite enjoying, like, what those guys had to offer, but we didn't see them much at all.
Mm.
And
I agree. I thought they were great and underused.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my God, the OC, I remember, Adam Brody. Yeah. I totally did it in that voice at the cinema.
I would like to see him get more work.
I think,
and not just because he's an attractive dude. I think he's a decent actor.
Yeah, he is. He is a decent actor. I mean, I remember when he was, like, in Thank You for Smoking. And even though it was a small role, he was, like, really good. And I'm like, you know, this guy, you know, he might be going places, but then nothing really happened. It's like, oh.
That's what he's really good in Jennifer's Body, which I know a lot of people hated.
It was okay, but he, I mean, I noticed him in that, definitely. Like, he is, like, pretty decent. And it was cool that he was in this. And Anthony Anderson, I'm a big fan of. I think he's awesome. So it was really cool. Like, I thought it was cool to see him in it. And they both had some pretty cool deaths.
Yeah, I thought Anthony Anderson's, like, even though his death was pretty cool, but I kind of had to laugh because it just sort of went on for a while.
It went on. That's what was so fucking funny. And it's like, jeez. I will say this, though. The kills in this movie were a lot more inventive.
Mm.
Like, they weren't, you know, like, crazy fucking, you know, torture porn type. I don't like using that word, but, you know, that sort of extreme. But at least they were a bit more inventive. Like, I'm going to stab you in this spot. And it seemed very mean-spirited as well. Which definitely made sense when the reveal came at the end.
Yeah, I think because they were kind of reflecting the times now when it comes to gore and horror movies. Because
it is a lot more nasty than it was.
Yeah.
So that was cool. What else is there?
I also really enjoyed Marley Shelton in the movie.
I thought she was really kind of funny, but in an awkward way.
Yeah, I think that was the whole point.
It was, because I didn't think, like, she did a decent job, but her acting was appalling. But it just was funny. It kind of worked for everything. It was, like, it wasn't bad. And I totally, like, did not realize she was in this movie, despite the fact that I have written about her being in the movie. It just slipped my mind when I went to see it.
How do we feel about the motivations for the killer?
I actually dug the motivation. Well, one of their motivations, anyway.
Well, I don't know. I thought one was sort of left like, oh, okay, what? At least that reveal for the first reveal was done really well. And obviously because something happens to a certain person. But anyway, I thought that was done well. But, in the end it was just like, oh, okay. I don't really care. But the second reveal I thought was done really well, and I actually did not see that coming. But it made sense, like, when everything was explained. And I thought that was done pretty well. And it was nice to be surprised for a change.
Yeah. And I think this person's reveal actually makes sense, especially, it's kind of, I wish I could say more without trying not to spoil it so much. It makes sense for in the times that we live today, especially when it comes to the entertainment industry.
Yeah, with all the media and, you know, how a lot of things are online and people can get famous online, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that all made sense. And, you know, there are other reasons. I had a bit of a slip there. Ignore me. You know, it made sense. Lisa, did you see it coming or be surprised?
Not at all, actually. I was pretty surprised.
Because I think Scream 2 was spoiled, so I knew who they were when I saw it, I think. Scream 3, I can't freaking remember. But, you know, it was refreshing to go see a movie without having anything being spoiled. So, it was good.
Well, I think because, you know, we got it here in Australia first before anywhere else, so we got to see it before, like, we got spoiled of anything.
So that was good. It worked out well for us.
Yeah. And also, I have to say, Neve Campbell looks really good in this movie. Like, she hasn't changed.
I want to know what fountain of youth she's drinking from.
I know, right? She does not look like she's aged a day since Scream 3. Like, she looks really good, and she's really, really pretty. And she was really, really good in this movie. Like, I really dug her performance, and I really loved the character of Sydney. And it just, I was watching it going, dude, where has she been? Why doesn't she make more movies? I want to see Neve Campbell.
I know, what has she been doing?
I don't know, she's been living on a deserted island. I don't know. Maybe she was on the Lost Island and now she's just reappeared. I don't know. It's, like, such a shame. It's like, oh, I miss her. Because she, you know, I think a lot of us probably introduced to her first when Party of Five came out, and then she was in The Craft and then Scream. So it's like I've sort of grown up a lot with her. But then, you know, after Scream 3, she kind of disappeared, and it's like, well, that's not good. I miss Neve Campbell, and she's really, really good.
Yeah, I miss her too. And it's also, it's really good to see, like, you know, Dewey and Gale and Sydney back on the screen.
Yeah,
you kind
I
of
like
feel
seeing
giddy about it when you see them together.
Yeah, because I thought Courtney Cox was actually really, really good in this as well. And I like Gale because she's such a bitch. And she was, you know, she was bringing the bitch back. It was really cool. And I thought David Arquette was actually a lot better than he was previously. And he sort of, it feels like he's kind of matured a little bit more now.
Yeah.
And that probably goes with David Arquette, but I don't know if David Arquette has really matured that much, but whatever.
I was about to say, I don't know if he's that matured that much.
I mean, as an actor, I think he has matured, but as a person, probably not. but yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, I thought this was really good. It was, I think it was probably, you know, along the lines of more like Scream 2.
Yeah.
And definitely a lot better than Scream 3. Like, at least Wes Craven, it seemed like he'd sort of seen what was wrong with Scream 3 and, you know, fixed them up for this, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And he definitely saw what was wrong with My Soul to Take, because this was miles ahead of that movie.
I have to admit, though, even though I did enjoy the movie, I'm kind of somewhat disappointed that it didn't, like, make me jump. At all.
I'm not a fan of jump scares. I think they're cheap and stupid and, you know.
I don't like the fake ones, but I like a good jump scare, but.
I mean, some of them were sort of okay, but I don't know. I'm just not sold on that whole.
If they're not overused in a movie,
exactly. Like, in some movies that happen all the time, and Wes Craven loves doing those. But I don't know. It didn't really affect me either way. I was going to say. One thing that sort of threw me off was there was no real mystery about who it was. They were just like, oh, it's a killer. You know, in the other movies, they sort of try and make it seem like, oh, it could be this person or that person, but they didn't really do it this time around, I don't think.
I think they did with certain characters. Like, I know they sort of played up the angle with Marley Shelton's character, because you remember she has that scene with Sydney.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit too strange for her to be the killer, and it's like, it's not going to be her. It would have been fun if it was, but I mean, what am I doing? I'm revealing that she's not the killer when she really is. No.
Oh, well, she may or may not be the killer.
I think we can sort of just not worry about that by now. I mean, if people don't want to know the spoilers, they would have probably tuned out already.
Just a few things. I think out of all the performances, the one I really didn't like the most and was actually Mary McDonnell, who plays Jill's mum.
She was so weird, and she has, I mean, I saw her in person a year ago, and she did not look that old. I mean, she looked like a skeleton that forgot it died 6 months ago.
Aw, Marcy.
I don't know what it was, and I felt bad because I love her. And I'm just like, what did they... Is that her? Is that makeup? Why does she look so strangely old? And she looked like she was stoned for most of her performance. It was
I know, that's what I thought so too. It was weird.
I don't know, I'm going to go back and watch Battlestar Galactica and enjoy her on that show. I don't know.
And... Oh, yeah, Marcy, when you wrote your review, there's one actor in particular that you mentioned in your review, and I had to agree, as soon as I saw him on the screen, I thought the exact same thing, was Eric Knudsen. Knudsen, who played Robbie. He looked exactly like Jesse from Nightmare 2.
I've seen him, what did I see him in? Saw 2, I think it was.
Oh yeah, I think it was too. I remember, knew I saw it somewhere, but I couldn't remember where.
Yeah, he was Donnie Wahlberg's son in that movie, and I'm like, dude, he looks like Mark Patton. He looks like Jesse Walsh. And then he was in Scott Pilgrim in the other band, when they do the Battle of the Bands.
That's what I saw him from.
And I'm like, dude, that's that Jesse kid. And then he was in this, and I'm like, fucking hell. Like, they should have had a scene with Mark Patton playing his dad or something. Like, he
was. Well, at least a poster of Nightmare 2 in the background.
they should do the remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and he should play Jesse. I mean, it would be amazing. But yeah.
I just loved how really meta this movie was.
Mm.
Like, especially because when they talk about, like, remakes, they do mention the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, and they're like, bleh.
Yeah, I know,
and I know
it was... God, that piece of shit.
It is so bad. Anyway.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. I actually, like I said before, I did enjoy that scene where Hayden's character, like, the only thing the question Ghostface asks was, like, which remake? And she just, like, reads out an entire list of, like, remakes of the past five. In fact, it's funny, though. All those remakes that she mentioned were, like, from the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I know, and it's scary to think about. It really is. But if I were to rank them, I'd probably say Scream. Probably put Scream 2 and 4 are about the same level, and then right down the bottom, Scream 3. That's how I'd probably rank them, I think. What about you guys? Do you have...
I think I'd pretty much agree with that.
Yeah? What about Bede?
Definitely the first Scream as number one. Mm. Scream 2 is number two. I need to think about which rank I put either Scream 3 or Scream 4. They might go back and forth, but I really might need to see Scream 4 again before I can make that judgment, because I've seen Scream 3 a few times. So so that would be a bit weird. Although I have one thing to say, and this is kind of not a spoiler. It's just a line that Sydney says towards the end of the movie to the killer who will not be named. But I thought, as soon as I heard this line, I was cheering in my seat. She basically says something along the lines, I'm trying to remember the exact quote. It was the one thing you need to know about reboots, don't fuck with the original.
Yeah, I know, that was awesome.
Classic line.
It was awesome. It was just that's how we all fucking feel.
I was yes!
It's fuck yeah!
I have a feeling that line will be like a nominee at next year's Golden Schmo Awards for favorite line.
Yeah, it was kind of you could just hear that music playing, you could be Sydney, fuck yeah! To the fuck yeah song.
Do we really need another trilogy of Scream movies though?
No. I mean, I'm happy with how it is. I mean, if you keep it with those, it's it is a really solid series of horror movies, and a lot better than fucking, so many of them out there. But I'm happy with it the way it is.
I'm happy with just the four movies too, but I'd be open for a fifth one if, depending on what they decide to do.
Mm.
I know Wes has been talking about possibly doing another trilogy of movies, but I think it really comes down to what the plot's going to be about. Where is it going to be set? Or even if Courtney Cox, David Arquette, or and Neve Campbell will be back, or will they go with an entirely different cast?
Spoiler alert, I was very surprised they didn't kill any of the original three off.
Yeah, because it's always kind of been about Sydney, though, and I can't imagine it being without her, and I don't think, this is definitely spoilers, but I don't think I could have handled it if they killed her in this.
Mm. I was really surprised. I was on the edge, and spoilers for the movie, I was kind of on the edge of my seat when, both Gail and Sydney got stabbed, and I'm thinking, this is pretty ballsy, you're almost about to kill off, one or maybe two of the main characters in the movie.
Mm. Yeah, but I'm pretty happy with the series, and I'll probably just keep enjoying them because they're fun movies.
Me too.
And I guess that's probably a wrap, right, guys?
Oh, one more thing, Marcy. I'm surprised you haven't brought up Alison Brie.
Oh my god, totally. Her role is so small, and she plays such a bitch, and I've never seen her be a bitch. It was awesome.
I haven't seen Community, but from what I hear, she's a goody two-shoes on that show, is that right?
She is.
Although, she's not in the movie much, but she makes the most of her role.
She does. I loved every second of it. She's oh my god, it's so cool to see her as a bitch, because in Mad Men, she's not really like that either. And it's so cool to see her play something completely different. And yeah, definitely, thanks for bringing that up, Bede, with your one more thing every 2 seconds.
Of course. I'll add one more thing.
Oh my god.
I have to say this because I think the Scream series couldn't be possible without probably one person, and that is Roger L. Jackson, who does the voice of Ghostface.
Yeah. The creepiest voice ever.
You've never seen him. Even in interviews, they always black him out, so you never know exactly what he looks like. So, this is he's got one of the most recognizable voices in film history.
Mm. And well, he's always done a good job.
And it scares the shit out of you.
Yeah, I mean, when he goes on the phone, I'll gut you like a fish, understand? It's scary.
I am scared when I heard that voice.
Morgan Freeman is scared.
Am I talking to Morgan Freeman all of a sudden?
You are.
Yes, you are. I am Morgan Freeman.
So, Morgan Freeman, did Ghostface get fed to the sisters at the end of Scream 4?
Unfortunately, no, as he gutted the sisters.
He gutted the sisters.
He gutted them and hung them up on a tree.
Awesome. So that's definitely a wrap then? Yeah?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yep. So we would like to thank our very special guest, Lisa, and amazingly, this has worked so well with the really ridiculous way we've had to set up how we can all talk to each other, but it worked. So
that's my fault. I have to apologize.
That's all okay, but thank you for, you know, putting up with everything and putting up with us and joining us for the show.
It was a pleasure, my dear.
I should hope so. Because we, Bede and I, we are quite crazy, I've got to say.
I'm not insane, you are.
No, okay.
But remember, Marcy, we all go a little mad sometimes.
We all go a little mad sometimes. Yeah, very true. So, yeah, again, thank you to Lisa. And you can go on MFC and find her under, let me see. It's Lisa Marie on MFC, isn't it?
Yeah, such a classy name.
Yeah, so it's L double E S E and then Marie. And you can like add her and friend her and be like, oh my god, you're the coolest chick of all time. And you can find Bede under MFC at Terra Australis.
Yes.
I think there's a dash in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find me at Super Marcy and supermarcy.com and all the super podcasting places. And until next time. Lisa has not really been Canadian.
Oh, God. I do not sound Canadian.
You don't at all, I've got to say.
I don't know where they got that from.
I don't know. So you have not been Canadian.
I swear too much. I don't apologize. How could I ever be Canadian?
I don't know. You don't sound Canadian.
Yeah. What are those people on a boot?
I don't know. They must be out in a boat on a boot. I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Marcy, I forgot to ask you a question.
What?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Troll 2.
You want to know what mine is?
Hannah Montana.
Close.
Showgirl.
Welcome to Whoop Whoop. That's movie's utterly terrifying.
Actually, Bede hasn't seen Showgirls. You need to see Showgirls.
I know, I should.
Glitter is my favorite scary movie.
Oh my god, I hate that movie with a passion. Fuck that movie. Ugh. Sorry. This has been like the most epic ending to a podcast of all time. So, again, Lisa has not been Canadian and she has sworn a lot. As have I, and I'm actually Australian, and so is Bede. So, with that said, I don't care, Bede.
But I know what would make this ending even more epic.
Morgan Freeman.
No, this. I'm gonna sneak around the back into the garage before my karate gear.
That is the best way to end a show. So, with that said, good night, everybody, or good day, mate.
See you, everyone.
And it flows like water burning with a hope of inside feathers. Books the colors of a bright elation stolen inside of the we are, we are, we are. We're just children.